Author and former radio host Claude Nobler shared the very beginning of his journey as a parent in a 2008 interview, Life is Wonderfully Ridiculous, for NPR's This I Believe series. After reading a New York Times Magazine story about an orphanage in Ethiopia, he told his wife Mary that maybe they could help, trying to impress her with his generosity and kind heart, but never really believing that she'd say yes. And so, alongside the 7-year-old son and 5-year-old daughter they already had, Claude and Mary Nobler adopted Nati, a 5-year-old Ethiopian boy who spoke no English, to join their family in Los Angeles. Well, that was 12 years ago. He writes about those 12 years in his new book, More Love, Less Panic. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Claude Nobler to the roundtable this morning. Claude, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
First of all, the name of your son is Nati, or is that how it's pronounced?
Natty.
Natty. Natty.
Just Natty Nobler.
Natty Nobler. So what did you want to get through in the book? And as far as a message of, and really taking it from the title, of More Love, Less Panic?
Well, you know, as you said, I have 3 kids, and one of the things that really surprised me about this entire experience is that everything that I went through with Natty helped make me a better parent for all 3 of my kids. And the greatest thing that I learned was that I really could go ahead and relax and enjoy my kids. I think, last night my wife was saying that my book was really sort of a counter-argument to the tiger mom theory of parenting, that, you know, if your kid isn't playing the violin and the captain of the football team at the age of 7, you know, forget it, it's all over. And Natty was such a, and is, such a specific and confident and strong and arrogant kid that I had to learn right away that I was not going to be in control. When I have breakfast, I come downstairs very quietly. My daughter comes downstairs very quietly. My son comes down very quietly, my eldest son. And Natty, when he barely could speak English, would come downstairs every morning blowing air kisses to an invisible crowd and saying, "Natty Nobler is awake. Thank you very much." That's not somebody you're ever going to turn into a quiet, neurotic, studious kid. That's going to, you know, you have to learn that, you know, if you have the seed for an apple tree, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get apples. You're not going to get an oak tree. And that's a great gift, because then all you have to do is find the right spot for who your child already is.
It is interesting, I think, to note you using the word arrogant to describe your son as a compliment.
You know, I think it is a compliment. I mean, it, at times it can be difficult, and I think everything the truth is, I think most everything is good depending on where it is at the time. And you know, Natty is bold and confident. When he was, 7 years old, he had a little lemonade stand. Now, my 2 other children had lemonade stands, and they, you know, sat there very quietly and shyly, and it was very sweet. Natty said to me after about 40 minutes, he said, "Can we go up the street?" I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, there's a house that's for sale." I said, "So?" He said, "More foot traffic." Natty is just an adventurous, confident person, and I think that's terrific. You know, you probably are very good at talking. I was very good at talking when I was young. I went into radio for a time, as did you. That was a great fit. My parents kind of had this tendency to think, well, we need you to talk less and be more like this other kid, and, you know, you have to find the spot that fits. And when you do find the spot that fits, then you can succeed. When Natty first came here, he didn't speak any English, and of course I didn't speak and continue not to speak any Amharic, which is the language spoken in Ethiopia, because I foolishly studied Spanish in high school instead of Amharic. And you know, he had this song, and he would come into the house and he would sing Mishashu. And we learned, he taught us the next part, which was to sing Allah, Allah, Allah. And we thought this was an old Ethiopian folk song, perhaps. But it turned out just to be some gibberish that Natty had created. And he just thought it was funny to make people sing that silly song. And I thought, wow, nobody at school is going to want to, you know, hang out with the 5-year-old who doesn't speak English and has this strange song. And when we had his first birthday party, all the kids from his class came. They'd all been invited. And throughout that day, we kept hearing kids, American kids, singing Mishashu, and other American kids would sing a lub, a lub, a lub. And that's when I realized that, you know, of course other 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds would love that. I have this tendency to think they have to be, all children have to be a certain way to succeed. And it's just not true.
You write in the book, and it is one of the themes of the book, is the realization that you come to, as well as your wife, of how very little control any parent really has on the personality of their child.
And how little control you need to have. You know, there's this tendency to believe, as a parent, that if you're not miserable, you're doing it wrong. And if you're not making your kids miserable, you're doing it wrong. You know, my eldest son, who's a sophomore at Duke now, is home for the holiday break. And when he was young, he used to leave dirty towels on the floor. And, you know, we tried to nag him into becoming a responsible good person, because who would want to marry somebody who left dirty towels on the floor? You know, all of that craziness you can get to as a parent. And then we stopped doing that. And one day he came to me and he said, "My room smells." I said, "Well, you leave wet towels on a carpet and it gets mildew." And he wanted girls to come over and he wanted friends to come over. And so he stopped doing that. And, you know, I didn't raise him well to make him a good adult. I just gave him some information one day and he changed, in the same way that I changed. I was a sloppy kid, and, you know, you grow up, you mature. And Natty gave me the gift of realizing that he was going to be who he was. You know, I used the word arrogant, which I will admit is not the nicest word to describe confident. But when Natty was, gosh, I guess he'd been in the country 5 weeks, barely spoke any English, we decided to drive to Disneyland from Los Angeles. And as we drove, as I pulled out of the driveway, I heard a little Ethiopian voice in the back of the car say, "No, no, Dad, this way, not that way." And I drove a little more, and he said, "No, no, 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 that way, not this way, that way." And he kept giving me directions until I finally said, "Natty, do you know where San Diego is?" And he said, "What is San Diego?" He's confident, he's strong, but he's also the president of his class this year. He's a leader. And I sometimes want, you know, one of my children to be quieter and one of them to be bolder and one of them, they're all finding their way in the world. And, you know, every parent learns the most important relationship of your life is with your kids. But that means, by definition, the most important relationship of their life is not going to be with you. They're going to move on. You have to enjoy this time because it goes, you know, they go to college, they move forward in their lives, and it really is such a wonderful time. The memories I have of Natty when he was 5, I don't think about all the things I panicked about. I think about, you know, it's funny to me now that one day at a birthday party, he took the icing off of a cake and made an icing beard. It's a silly, ridiculous story, but I thought, oh, he's going to wind up in prison, because as a parent, you're just always anxious. And if you can be a little less anxious and a little bit happier, your kids will be fine and you'll be happier.
You note that you did go back to Ethiopia recently with Natty and your family. The first time he'd been back since he was 5 years old. What was that experience like?
You know, it was beyond remarkable. When Natty was 5, I went to bring him home from Ethiopia. His father had died when he was 1. His mother was too ill to continue to provide care for him. And, you know, at one point after we had spent time, his mother and I, she put him on my lap and said, "You're the right family for my son and for our son." And, you know, that was many years ago, and it's very hard for me to talk about that without tearing up. I mean, that's the most remarkable moment I think I will probably ever have. And we've been able to maintain an open adoption, essentially. One of the remarkable things that happened in my life, and you know, remarkable things do happen. We forget that sometimes. Is as I was flying to Ethiopia, I was seated next to a woman named Jane Aronson. And I was so proud. I was going to adopt a child from Ethiopia. I felt very proud of myself. And Jane was going to adopt a child and also to found an orphanage and a hospital in Ethiopia. So I was way better than I ever could be. And Jane was able, you know, medication for HIV and AIDS, there have been tremendous advances over the last 10 years. And we were able to help provide care for Nanny's mother and maintain an open adoption. And we went back to Ethiopia this last summer, and you know, we spent time there. We were able to reconnect with Natty's mother. And you know, I'm a guy who was always trying to avoid going to my cousin's house and going to this, you know, family event. And now I have family across the globe. And Natty's surviving family embraced my eldest son, Clay, and my daughter, Grace, as, you know, as their family. Recently, I had a niece do a term abroad in Ethiopia, and she was brought into the family. And, you know, we share that. And some of Natty is very much a part of the parents that he was born to. His father used to tease his sister by burying her sneakers, her shoes, outside of their hut in the village in Ethiopia, and saying, "No, I don't know where your shoes are." And Natty has that kind of personality. He plays those kinds of jokes. But he's also a very Western kid, and, you know, to see his mother look at this beautiful, confident, adult 17-year-old who's looking at colleges, who has opportunities, he's trying to start his own business, to build a company, and he's engaged in the world, and we share that together, and that's a remarkable thing. And, you know, I worried so much. I really believe I'm bad at worrying, even though I do it quite a lot. I worried so much, how would bringing in a child affect the two children we had? And, you know, what it ultimately gave them was a sense of that the world is big, the world is remarkable, and that they should participate in it. And that was a gift. We worry, we see all the bad things that can happen with our kids, and we forget there's a lot that can happen that's not bad. And if we get out of the way, it tends to happen on its own.
Claude Nobler is the author of the new book, More Love, Less Panic. It's now out in paperback. 7 Lessons I Learned About Life, Love, and Parenting After We Adopted Our Son from Ethiopia. It is published by Tarcher Penguin. Claude, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. You're a great pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.